It's the epic journey of one man's epic struggle to escape prison, an epic quest of epic proportions that takes the viewer on an epic ride with epic stakes. So it's long, is what I'm saying. Papillon was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hi, my name's Sean. I'm here with two employees of a record store that doesn't seem to do any business.
Damn the man.
What did we watch last week?
Next Friday.
Next Friday. There was a record store in the middle there.
Yeah,
there it is.
Feels like they were going to... Well, I would say it feels like they were going to do something with that character and didn't get around to it, but that's not true of any of the characters.
No, they were all just like, meh.
Just there for a minute. Last episode, next Friday, we gave it a 31. That's 13th from the bottom, because before that, we did Vampires, which got a 30. 12th from the bottom.
I don't like the odds of this one either.
I'm going to be there to float it up. Don't worry.
This was interesting because
I spent so much of this movie. Like, I still like this movie. It's not as good as I remembered it being, but I just every 15 minutes or so, I'd be like, oh, Camila and Sean are going to hate this.
Oh, damn. So you saw this before?
I watched this when I was a kid, like on Turner Classic that, Movies.
There goes that bingo square.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I am going to be the spoiler on that bingo square a lot, I feel.
Literally, before we drew this, I knew there is an old movie called Papillon that probably some people think is a classic, but not like a lot of people, or else I would at least know what it's about.
Yes,
I had never even heard of this movie before you drew it.
And then, we're getting into it. Okay, it's a prison break. You know, they got some bad circumstances. Okay, Steve McQueen. Whew, it's going slow, isn't it? It's
we were like an hour in and there's still no great escape happening.
I felt bad that I just called this an escape movie, a prison escape movie, because it's really just a prison movie.
Right.
It's a prison exist movie.
Correct.
Broken up with the occasional escape. I mean, how do we approach? Maybe it was exciting in 1973.
I spent most of the time trying to figure out who, why, what? And I'm like, at one point, I even questioned myself. I was like, no, I have enjoyed movies that came out previously that have come out before 73.
I'm not one of those
right,
people.
It's not just the times.
What happens in this movie? Let's
right,
get to...
So
I
got a couple disclaimers to go before we get into it. First of all, about an hour before we started recording, I rolled my ankle. So I'm like not at 100%. Oh, also, quick apologies. I'm just a mess. Apologies for the last episode being late. I was waylaid by some kind of non-COVID sickness. Forget that those exist.
It was refreshing, though. Not for you, for me. Because I was like, oh, so next time I'm feeling a little crappy, I do get to go. Maybe it's just a non-COVID.
Right.
Because, I mean, everything for the past 2 years I've heard about has been allergies or COVID.
Right.
It was good to see that.
I was taken out. I spent 3 days in bed. And I don't
know
if I get sick.
The good old-fashioned flu.
I think the last time I got sick was when we recorded our Jagged Edge episode.
Oh,
yeah.
Which you missed because you were becoming a mother. You now have like a full child. So that was a while ago.
Wow.
I mean, that's, you know,
look at you.
Quarantined and masking and all that good stuff.
It helps.
I'm also unbreakable. So that's my first note. And then my second note is that I didn't practice this. And also, I am not going to say Papillon over and over again because that's too hard. So I'm just going to say Steve McQueen.
My caveat is we're recording this 3 days later than we planned. So I don't remember the damn movie anymore.
Zazzies.
Also features in my recap. All right, let me pull it up and somebody can start their timer.
And go.
Steve McQueen arrives at a prison colony in French Guiana and is told to abandon all hope, but he's Steve McQueen, so he doesn't do that. He meets Dustin Hoffman, for his fellow prisoner Dega, who's learned to navigate the system through bribes and smuggling. They team up as brains and brawn while Steve plots escape. He defends Dega from an attacking warden and is put in solitary confinement. He's smuggled extra food by Dega, and then when they find that out, they deprive him of light and starve him for months or possibly years to get him to rat out Dega, but he's Steve McQueen, so he doesn't do that. He finally leaves solitary, and they do another escape that was totally edited out of the TV version I grew up watching because it involves rapiness and homosexuality, and their escape plans go awry in a series of ways I can't remember because we delayed recording. There's bounty hunters, limpers, they're ultimately turned in by a nun, they're sent to Devil's Island for double secret exile prison. Steve McQueen hatches yet another escape plan involving a lovely bunch of coconuts. Dave can't remember life outside prison, decides to stay behind. Steve McQueen jumps off a cliff, and then there's a narrator who's like, and he got free.
60 seconds on the dot.
Right there. Oh, wow. Okay.
Even with the editorializing. Nice.
That's
nice.
How I do it.
Like it.
Yeah, all of that happened. I think I probably wasn't supposed to be going, I wonder what tourism is like in French Guiana. But one, I still kind of was. And two, I had time. Yeah. I had time to look up which Guiana is which. I had to briefly double check.
They're spelled differently.
They are.
I bet it comes from the same place name, though. It's probably just different.
I think there's one area called Guiana, right. And like a lot of places, the various European countries just chopped it up.
The other one was Dutch, yeah?
Yeah, okay. And now it's just...
And now it's its own
French
thing.
Guiana is actually part of France.
Yes.
To this day, it's one of the last...
Colonies. Yeah.
Yeah, you had time to like dig in deep to geography of France.
I learned a lot because very little was happening on the screen. That's not fair to a degree. Like, there is, okay, we're in this part. It just is so languid about how it goes about those things that it's like, okay. I think I was 2 hours in. I was like, is he going to prison again? Are we going back?
It happens many times.
I felt like it was a high school production of Papillon.
Which, I mean, we'll get to the facts. At the time, this was like a big budget movie.
Yeah. From the beginning, it felt like, oh my God, we're going to be here all day.
Yeah.
Was that the point?
Yes.
Was
it okay. Like, yeah.
We're going to make you feel the length of these people's.
Right, that's
trials.
What I was wondering. Like, is it strategic? Because, like, I do feel like I'm in solitary confinement. Like, I... This is,
yes. I mean, part of it is this whole thing of this movie is 50 years old, and we all are accustomed to a different pace of storytelling. That is absolutely part of it.
Right.
But I do think it is intentionally slow to make you understand prison life.
Which, I'm okay.
And still, like, there was a disconnect between how much time was passing in their lives and what we were seeing. Because when you present, like, okay, in this scene, they ask him, you know, who sent him the coconuts, which, logistical questions, how did they not know? There were, anyway.
Yeah.
Who's running this place? The French. But, like, when you see seven scenes that represent, you were in here for 5 years, I have no idea. I have no idea how much time passed until someone in the next sequence says, well, you've been in there for 5 years.
I agree. So I know it was at least 6 months without light and food.
Right.
Which is a lot.
Yeah.
And then there was more time after that. So, yeah, I don't know. And questionable age makeup also.
He was the exact wrong age.
Yes.
For any version of that character.
Right.
Because
like
for half of the movie, he's way younger than Steve McQueen was. And then he's way older than Steve McQueen was.
And I remember what I told Camila when you said, I don't know if this was on mic last week. You're like, I don't know if I've ever seen one of his movies. Yeah. I was like, well, he's hot.
Yeah.
I was like, I forgot this was past his prime.
Right.
Hotness.
Yeah. And I was looking at it like, I mean, I can see because I started like looking up old photos. It was like, yeah, I can see back in the day. But no, this is
one of the things in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood that I did really like was. God, I can't remember the actor's name. He was on Homeland. Damian Lewis?
Yeah, that's it. Okay. That's the one.
His little tiny bit as Steve McQueen in his decline. Ooh, loved it. It was
he
nailed it.
Meanwhile, Dustin Hoffman looks like he wouldn't have survived intake. He would not have made it through. The boat could have still been in port, and he would have been like, my body can't take
this
anymore.
There are Those glasses. Those are some great movie glasses.
Yeah. I think that was maybe that was the time marker for us, because there was one point I was like, for a dude in prison, like, he sure is getting like a lot of different, like, he's got as many glasses, different frames as I do.
It's also meant to represent his savviness of navigating prison life. When he needs new glasses, he knows how to get new glasses.
Yeah, he does.
Well, to tell you about a long time ago, in a multiplex. No, there weren't really multiplexes yet. In Two a neighborhood stops. Yeah, neighborhood movie theater. This was released December 16th of 1973. It went to number one the weekend of January 2nd, 74. The first number one movie of 1974, held off by Serpico when it was first released. As we discussed when we added all of these movies, the numbers we have from 58 through 83, those are just from key markets, so they're not complete. It's all of the big cities we're reporting. But what we have is that Papillon earned at least $1.4 million in that first week of 1974. That was its only week on top, because The Exorcist had been released 10 days after Papillon, took the top spot on January 9th, and stayed there for three full months. Total gross was about $21 million, equivalent of about $138 million today. So it was a hit. It made money. This was a big, lavish, expensive production. As the trailer... Let's skip ahead to the trailer.
Oh, boy.
Yeesh.
As close to the edge as you can safely put it.
After 5 years as an international bestseller, it comes to the screen. Papillon.
Welcome to the penal colony of French Guiana. Hey! Ho! Whose prisoners you are.
Get moving!
And from which there is no escape.
Steve McQueen, Dustin Hoffman. Two men with nothing in common but a will to live. And a place to die.
Make no pretense at rehabilitation here. We're not priests, we're processors. A meatpacker processes live animals into edible ones. We process dangerous men into harmless ones. This we accomplish by breaking you.
But man risked his life to save mine.
The ordeals of prison.
I want that name, and I want it now.
The dreams of freedom. The dangers of escape. Steve McQueen. Dustin Hoffman. Papillon. The greatest adventure of escape ever filmed.
Was a trailer or a featurette? Because
that's what I found. It looks like the normal trailer. The trailer opens with 30 seconds. You just heard it and didn't know what it was, probably. It's 30 seconds of shirtless men standing around in Jamaica.
I'm going to cut it down. It's not going to be 30 seconds of that audio.
Going like, let's make that movie. And was that just to sell, like, they really went all out on this one, so you better come see it?
I think so. I don't.
Okay.
I mean, I guess, like you said, this was a big budget in 73.
Right.
And people were still just like, mesmerized by the making movies.
That was a blockbuster era, right?
So yeah.
Oh, sure.
People were into big, lavish productions in the 70s. And then this also had artsy business.
Yeah.
Something that didn't totally make it into my recap is
The sad dream sequence.
There are sad, weird dream sequences.
Just because we weren't having a bad time already. Let's really rub in the misery.
That was one thing that I was like, oh, I bet when I watched this when I was 14, I thought that was like super profound, awesome shit. And now watching it as a grown up, I'm like, all right, we get it. You've seen French movies.
Know thyself.
Right, exactly. So I think that one of the reasons that this movie was better in my memory than it is in reality is that youthful innocence.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was that, like, I really like the relationship between Steve McQueen and Dustin Hoffman. Like, the just profound bond that they have that is never truly explained.
Right.
It's just like that we're stuck together for life, and you have what I don't have, so let's team up. And that felt a little thin upon returning to it, I think, because men are allowed to have meaningful relationships now.
Right.
Right, so they could get away with the bare minimum.
Right.
Back in 73. Yes. It's like, he doesn't hit him when he talks to him. So.
They express fondness for one another at one or two points. How progressive. Yeah, $13.5 million was the budget at the time.
That's a ton of money.
That's a ton of money. I mean, that's $70, $80 million, but no one was spending that kind of money on movies
right.
in 1973. Expensive baubles.
Expensive baubles.
What?
Just one Oscar nomination, Robin.
Well, even though I think the makeup was actively bad, that would be my guess, but that wasn't a category yet.
Not yet a category. No, it was...
Cinematography?
Best Original Dramatic Score.
I have no memory of the music.
Me either. That was another one of my bugs about this movie. Was like, is this before the sound design was a thing? Because it's so, there's so much silence and just like weird, like the, when someone gets punched or someone falls, it's just kind of like.
Mm-hmm. They didn't like Foley that in.
Yeah, exactly. They, like it was happens. Like, there was a mic there. Like,
right.
or in the area. To pick
I mean,
it up.
That one ambush scene when they're going for the boat. Mm. All of us are struggling because we were supposed to record several days ago.
You know, the scene where he's in prison?
Like, uh-huh.
That has very weird sound design. It's like you're saying, like, there's, like, gunfire, and instead of, like, having, you know, normal Hollywood gunfire noises, it's, like, very, like, cap guns.
Yeah, or even just, like, a smoothed out, like, situation. It just, it felt real jagged. To me.
He lost that award. Whoever it was. Sorry, didn't write down your name, composer. Lost it to, he's not from here, but we claim him Marvin Hamlisch in The Way We Were.
EGOT.
An EGOT winner. Also nominated for one Golden Globe. Steve McQueen was nominated for Best Actor in a Drama. Lost to Al Pacino in Serpico. Not only was this not an awards darling, the reviews were mixed.
Right.
Like both Siskel and Ebert went like 2 out of 4.
Right. Ebert's review is great. I mean, all of Ebert's reviews are great. But he basically is like, this is fucking boring.
Just no My love dude. For it at all. I mean, a lot of people at the time were like, well, it goes on. The lush cinematography, but it does, which is nice to see. I feel like I'm always complaining about the length of things.
Yeah.
Nothing is ever the length I want it to. Even, I was sitting in the theater during Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris.
Yeah.
It's like, we did not need to be here for 114 minutes. A lady is going and buying a dress. We could have gotten out of here. Marcel the Shell was the right length. More on this and You Can't Handle the Truth. Papillon, based on the book by Henri Charrier. Yep. Let's say
that is Papillon.
That is Papillon. He is a French prisoner who definitely was taken to a prison colony in French Guiana, definitely broke out of there at least once, who is now believed to have liberally borrowed stories from his fellow prisoners to turn into the book. Mm-hmm. Many places say that that book is a novel and not an autobiography. He did some of these things and other people did some of these things and made the rest up. Whatever. He did visit the set. He was still alive, but he died before the film was completed. So it may or may not be real, but hey, you know what was real? Steve McQueen jumping off that cliff.
What, really? Wow.
Yeah. He insisted that it could only work if he did it himself.
Okay, Steve.
He said that it was...
Definitely didn't know it was him, so I'm not sure it was worth it.
Said it was one of the most exhilarating experiences of his life.
Well, good Steven. For him.
They also really wrestled that crocodile with some safety measures.
Wow.
When the movie briefly...
teeth.
Right, yeah.
Like that one episode of The Simpsons.
Lucky for you, this was just a warning, Gator. The next one won't be corked.
This movie briefly became an Abbott and Costello routine when they're just circling around, falling in the mud repeatedly. That scene I liked. Mm-hmm. McQueen and Hoffman did not get along.
Who gets along with Dustin Hoffman?
Probably that. Also, Dustin Hoffman discovered he was getting like $750,000 less and was mad about it.
What? I'm sorry. You're not Steve McQueen.
$750 less? That was
$7,000.
Oh, $7,000.
It was like $2,000,001¼.
But still, like, bro, at this point, you've got The Graduate and Straw Dogs.
And he was in way less of the movie.
And Midnight Cowboy. But yeah, yes, he's also in way less of the movie, and he's not Steve McQueen.
And he's not Steve McQueen. What's your problem?
You have years, you have miles to go before you get there. Do you hear me, butterfly? Miles.
Finally. How appropriate. Do you hear me, Papillon? Miles to go.
Woo. Woo.
Well, folks, we've done the first ever Papillon Death Proof crossover joke. I think we're going to pack it in there. What else? Woo.
I mean, I've got a lot of You Can't Handle the Truth, so like, yeah. I don't think our listeners are desperate for our detailed analysis of Papillon.
It was,
because I did do a deep dive on where that, where that fucking poem came from while I was watching the movie.
Papillon, a great movie to research things while it plays in the background.
I didn't remember my notes again because watch a while ago. I wrote down one point, you just need a little snooze here and there. That's in my notes. And I did. I would go, pause, lay down, tell Google to wake me up in 15 minutes. Okay, we're back.
I found out that there's a dog called a Papillon. I didn't know about it, mm-hmm. which led me to a young man's TikTok about dogs and how they react mm-hmm. when robbers come in.
Glance up. Looks like he's still in jail. All right, where was I? It was film was originally supposed to be directed by Roman Polanski and star Warren Beatty. Mm. Polanski couldn't get
couldn't that's the get only reaction
the money
possible.
Together. Yeah, I liked when they washed up inside an Indiana Jones movie. That was exciting. I mean, Indiana Jones didn't exist yet, but it was like someone said, make it more interesting for you. And then, okay, a lot of questions. You know, that happens. Dustin Hoffman goes in the other direction. Steve McQueen's just like, well, fuck it. Keeps running.
Yeah.
And somehow this leads to when he's living in the indigenous village. Mm-hmm. Which, okay, I was thrilled to exchange constant misery for constant nudity. Like, no complaints. But what kind of a sick colonial fantasy is this when you just want to, and there's a naked lady who loves you and the chief wants you to give him a tattoo? What kind of Epcot tourism version?
Yeah.
And then he leaves. What the fuck is the matter with you? If that is what's going on, if you're like, oh, she wants to have sex with me and everyone likes me and they have food and no one's trying to kill me. Well, I'm out of here.
Right. Why, sir?
Because he wants to get away.
From what? Happiness?
From South America?
He was into it at that point. It's all he had.
I forgot that the nun was the one who turned him in, and that was like, I was like, ooh, twist.
Plot twist.
And also, like, nice commentary on colonialism.
Do you think a bunch of guys got butterfly tattoos after this movie? You think a bunch of, like, hard men got butterfly tattoos and then got really mad when it became a lady tattoo later on?
I could finally get that butterfly tattoo. Mm-hmm. Steve says it's okay. No. At that point in the 70s, I think tattoos were still like basically like prisoners and
sailors.
Yeah, sailors, bikers. Not everybody was.
But you know, there's a few bikers.
That's probably, yeah, there's three or four for sure that are like in their 90s right now.
Yeah. Steve McQueen's good.
I think he's really good.
I see why he's Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
I have no idea what score to this. I don't have a number in now because I don't know if it's good or not.
I think it is
give it your endorsement.
Okay, so like I said, I think Steve McQueen's good.
Yeah.
I do think that this movie is a genuinely harrowing story. Like, mm-hmm. I think that they sold how horrible this prison colony is.
Right,
sure.
Like I was saying, I totally forgot and or it might have been edited out that there's the rapey guard and that part of their escape plan is that Steve McQueen's like, listen, buddy, you got to go suck this guy's dick. Mm-hmm. And he ultimately doesn't have to. But that moment, I was like, this is bleak for a 70s movie. Like, they're going really hard. I guess that they were doing that at the time, like Straw Dogs, like you mentioned. But yeah, so there's that. As much as the relationship doesn't move me as much as it used to because men are now allowed to have real feelings in movies, I do think that that is a compelling relationship. Mm-hmm. It's pretty to look at.
Yeah, looks great.
And yeah, that's sort of where I'm at. I respect this movie. Mm-hmm. I don't really recommend it to anyone. So, and I'm also going to deduct points because of the very abrupt, bad ending. Like, I think it would have worked better for me if it were just title cards. Like, throwing in that narrator, and it sounded like the, like, trailer voice. You know what I mean? It just felt really off. So, I'm going to land at 68.
Okay. I mean, when they're escaping, when there's an escape happening, it's pretty good.
Yeah. And I think the solitary sequence is really good. Mm. It went on too long.
Yeah.
I think it also maybe gets bonus points for me because both of you haven't seen The Great Escape, right?
No.
Correct.
Well, first of all, I mean, I guess I have no credibility right now telling you to watch old movies.
But this is earlier Steve McQueen.
Yes,
the
so escape. And that is iconic Steve McQueen in solitary, and he's good because he's got a ball to bounce, right? And so I liked the sort of like Michael Keaton and Birdman-ness of him being like, no, here's what solitary's actually like.
I hope I never break the law because
I would not do well in prison.
That's what I'm saying. Like anytime I watch any, this is why I limit my prison viewing because I get actual anxiety. Like I never watched Orange Is the New Black because there's no fucking I couldn't handle it. So yeah, that's
which
like,
is a relatively sunny depiction of prison.
I would turn on my own mother if you were just like you're stuck in this room and you don't have anything to read or watch for 24 hours. Right. Like I will tell you everything. Right. About everybody. Yeah. I can't.
Just I'll give you all of the dirt. Yeah. Whatever you need to know.
Good for Steve McQueen. I like the boat on the way down. That set up for that promised a more thrilling movie than I received. Mm. I like the big escape during the thing. I'm going to shrug and say 50 because I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Robin, what number did you just say? 68.
Yeah, I was also going to go with 50 because I can respect it as art and what it is. And somebody out there really enjoyed it. And I think there were just way too many elements of like any movie in it that I do not enjoy. Mm-hmm. There's just like, you know, the content of it. So I can't really be fair. I can't say it's like, yeah, I got into it. Cause like, you know, if I were to watch the remake, I probably still would have the same like, whatever.
Apparently the remake's terrible.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to put that in the fact and didn't even bother. There was a remake like 3 years ago with like Rami Malek and
Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah, that can't have been good. Let's take away compelling actors and see what's left.
So yeah, I'm gonna go with 50.
That gives you a 56 for Papillon. Sorry to the super fans. If you're a super fan,
let us know.
You saw this a little drunk in a theater on a date 39 years ago.
Or
49 years ago.
You saw it on Turner Classic Movies when you were 14 and doing chemistry homework.
Or you just really have a hard-on for Steve McQueen.
Could be that.
You're a Steve McQueen super fan.
Right. Which, valid.
Yeah.
The letterbox list is swampsploitation. At least one scene traveling in on or at the edge of boggy water is required for inclusion. Bonus for escaped convicts, criminals on the loose, or other people on the run. So this is all over it. I don't think this is exactly what they did when they invented this genre, which is more like Strangler of the Swamp and Swamp Women and Swamp Devil and Bikini Swamp Girl Massacre. And
those are more exploitative movies.
Right. Yeah, this is not an exploitation movie, but what did I just watch in the swamp? Oh, it's that Toby Hooper movie that's kind of a tonal mess. It was right after Texas Chainsaw. This is when I messaged the two of you because it had young, hot Freddy Krueger in it.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
What the hell was the name of that movie?
It's like, yeah, give me something to latch on to.
The number of times that Sean sends things to our group chat where he's like, here, Camila and Robin, thirst over this. Very much appreciated.
Yeah, thank you.
Listen, I'm like, this isn't hitting me the way it should. I know who will benefit.
Right, I know a couple ladies who wouldn't mind this in their inbox.
Eaten Alive by Toby Hooper right after Texas Chainsaw. There's just a hillbilly with a big crocodile.
Right on.
Down the road from a brothel.
Of course.
And, you know, one thing leads to another and the crocodile keeps eating people. It's great. I mean, it's not. It's a bad movie. But I did not know that Robert Englund was ever hot, and boy is he.
It was a hot second. I guess he was on that show V way back when. I think
Alien Invasion show.
Mm-hmm. He was one of the aliens or whatnot, and he was adorable. Oh, yeah. He was kinda cute. I'm assuming that was before Nightmare on Elm Street. I was young when that show was on.
I only ever saw it like in reruns on the Sci-Fi Channel. Yeah.
Well, speaking of things you've seen, you said you had a lot of you can't handle. Okay. Oh, the bingo card. Wait,
we got a new bingo card.
Got a new bingo card since I aced last week's through no effort of my own.
Killed it. So we got some new stuff and I crowdsourced a little bit, asked some of our listeners. Thanks to Joseph Venn, Eric, and Alex from Ukantuba, someone goes by the Game Promoter, and Dustin Lee for your suggestions. And if y'all don't hear a suggestion here, I put it in my pocket for the next bingo card. All right, so the new ones that we got are Character Gets Killed Right After a Monologue.
Mm-hmm.
Good one.
Convenient Newscast Exposition.
Put a pin in that.
My personal favorite, mention a year we've lived through as the future.
I love that
one. Right?
It's really good.
So, yeah. And Carnival, some of the old ones are still there for a minute.
Taxi
before.
Immediately arrives?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that was another one.
Do we get anything?
I don't think so.
We have to get I Have an Idea. I mean, at the end, he comes back and explains the coconut.
Oh, yeah, coconut scheme. I'll allow it.
Yeah. Other than that, for a prison movie, I don't remember a Bible.
Mm-mm. I mean, there's a nun, but no.
No, yeah. Bible.
A nun's, that's that whole religion, they don't do Bibles. They do listen to me.
No one kissed in the rain.
Sadly, it would have been a very different movie.
Which, by the way, Letterboxd, folks on Letterboxd, not every relationship between two people of similar gender is...
secretly gay?
Is secretly gay.
I don't know.
Many are. Not this one.
This one, I think of this as one of those relationships where it's like they have a profound emotional bond. I cannot imagine them wanting to hump.
No.
And normally I can.
Not at all.
Who wants to hump Dustin Hoffman in this film?
No, there's no way. There's other dudes that Steve would go for.
There's someone who I don't know if was ever hot.
Dustin Hoffman?
Yeah.
He looks vaguely handsome in some movies. Like, he looks handsome in Kramer versus Kramer.
Yeah, and you could see someone being married to him. You couldn't see Meryl Streep being married to him, but you could be like, yes, that's a young married man. Mm-hmm. But
nah, he was definitely never hot.
No, yeah.
I'm sure he was passable.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, sure. And if he were not Dustin Hoffman, he would have a perfectly okay life, I'm sure.
Vaguely approaches hot in All the President's Men.
Yeah, okay.
And he looked really short, too, though.
Mm-hmm. Short king.
Yeah.
Now we know that he's an asshole. So
yeah.
I didn't. Okay, I missed something.
Oh, he's just a jagoff.
Just a general jagoff.
He's that person who would be outright canceled, but so much of his misdeeds are under. Oh, he's just such an asshole. Where it's like, no, I don't think you were trying to sexually harass anybody. You're just a dick to everyone at all times.
Got it.
Maybe he was. I don't know. I didn't read into it too deeply. He's just a dick. What's the last big Dustin Hoffman thing?
I have
meet
no
the
idea.
Parents?
Or Meet the Parents 4 or whatever or, it was.
You know, who cares?
He's an old man.
Who cares about Dustin Hoffman?
Just go off and tuck away somewhere.
You said you have a lot to talk about.
So, well, first of all, let's talk about Thor. Did you see Thor?
No, not yet.
I just want to say it's under 2 hours.
Wow.
Yes.
So exciting.
Wow.
Yeah. And Sean and I saw it together and we really, I know that Sean really enjoyed it. I very much enjoyed it in the moment. When I thought about it for more than 5 minutes, I was like, wait a second.
Because with your attempt to watch Doctor Strange, it's clear that this year is like no plots, just vibes for Marvel. We're not going to try to make any of this make sense. We're just making it cool.
The bad guy is Gore the God Butcher and his deal is like, you have all this power and you won't help the people who pay fealty to you, and I'm like I'm living in America in 2022, right. And I'm like, yeah, fucking right. Go get him with your sword, Christian Bale.
A lot of these villains, I may not agree with your actions, but your politics, I'm right.
Well, first act of Thor, whichever one we're on, Love and Thunder, spoilers, he kidnaps all the children in the village, and you pointed out...
Why? It's just to force you to think he's a bad guy.
Because otherwise you'd be like, Gore the God Butcher makes a lot of good points. You just have to have him menacing children, so we're like, oh, he's the bad guy.
It is a thin film, but I really appreciate it being under 2 hours. Yeah. And also, the post-credit scene made me feel alive.
All right, I'm looking forward to it.
It was one of those... If you've seen enough Marvel movies, you've been on both sides of the someone near you goes, oh my God! Either character, actor, or reference, and you're sitting there going... Oh, but who is that? And I've done it the other way, too. They're in the thing now. And other people are like, wait.
That's how I felt about whatever post-credit scene had Harry Styles in it.
What?
Or maybe
Eternals.
Eternals, that's what it was.
That was Harry Styles.
Right. That's what I'm like. Like, they make this big thing and it's a duo. Like, he comes out and I'm just like, huh? Mm-hmm. Hello? Hi. Who are you?
I just remember, maybe this was before the credits, where it was like, oh, that's why Kit Harington's in this movie. He's going to play some other character in a future movie. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because before I was like, is that really where this guy's at in his career? Where he's playing the girlfriend? Because yikes.
I just loved, I went much higher on Love and Thunder than a lot of critics. And I think it's because it was under 2 hours. Yeah. And I'm just happy when it's like, let's just have a good superhero time.
It is a good time.
And the action was really cool. The cast was great. It looked great. It was funny at the right times. It has a good villain. It's doing all of the normal superhero things right. And a lot of the criticism is like, how does this factor into the overall story? I don't always have to care.
Right.
Well, I don't need it to factor into the overall story. I need it to have something to say.
That's the 10. Right. I gave it a 9.
Okay, so I need that to get to 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I want to have a nice, fun. I'm going to see it again this week.
Okay. I've got two more things.
Okay.
One is convenient newscast exposition. I watched the Bob's Burgers movie. I don't really have anything to say about it. It's fine. But an amusing anecdote, which is Colin is sometimes hard to watch movies next to. Colin, I love you. But he will talk over things and then I have to rewind. And then I'm that asshole. I always feel like an asshole when I do it. He has this thing that he likes to say because it was said in some podcast he listens to. I want to say Planet Money. Felix, shush. And the young Louise.
Kristen Schaal.
Shushes her mom during the convenient newscast exposition, which is about a character named Felix. And Colin kept saying, Felix, shush, over it. And I had to rewind it like 8 times. Okay, so anyway, the movie was fine. And then also I want to talk about how much I hated Last Night at Soho. If anybody saw my tweet where I said I want to punch this movie in the face, that was the film.
I almost watched it the other night.
You might like it more than I did.
Mary Beth loved it. I liked it a good bit. Mary Beth loved it.
What on the fucking earth is that movie supposed to be about? Like, it just, she's like, oh, my mom killed herself, so I'm an unreliable narrator because maybe I'm crazy, right? And it's like, and then in the end they explain everything and the explanation is very underwhelming and it has the Murder She Wrote problem, and I just hated this movie so much. You
shouldn't watch Giallos.
What?
Giallos, Italian slasher horrors from the 70s.
Yes. No, I don't watch those. No. Yeah.
Because anyone who has seen Giallos saw Last Night, oh, he's doing that. Great. Got it. Makes sense.
Women are crazy.
I'm not going to argue with you.
And sexy.
No, I'm not going to tell you it's not that, because it's been too long since I've seen it.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna comment on its gender. I enjoyed it.
Once upon a time, I watched Black Swan, one of my favorite movies. It's in my Letterboxd 4, as a drinking game where every time there's a mirror, you drink. Mm. And my friend actually went in and highlighted the mirrors to help us with the drinking game. Anyway, that was super fun. If you did that with Last Night at Soho, you would pass out by the first act break.
Wow.
Loves
Everybody's already looking in a mirror. Edgar Wright is slipping into that, like,
I think
Kevin Smith level of, yes, like, there's going to be some people who just, like, accept it and stay on board and some people who are done with his stuff.
It reminds me of like Wes Anderson, where I'm like, I get your deal. And you clearly think it's the best deal ever.
Can I problematize Bob's Burgers before we...
Sure, why not?
I don't know. I know that textually Bob's Burgers is a right-minded show.
Sure. What do you mean by right-minded?
Not
level-headed?
Level-headed, okay. Frequently progressive, sure, thoughtful in the text. I take issue with having a mostly
male voice cast.
A male voice cast for female characters.
I wrote an article about this in the first season of the show. It has disappeared from the internet, but yeah, that really bothered me.
Yeah, I always kind of questioned it as well. It's like, why? Like, I mean, not to put down the dude that does Linda's voice.
No,
funny.
Like,
the other one's funny.
They are great performances.
But
why?
Right, yeah. Why did we need to do that? We just was he in the room when they decided to cast? Because, and they're like, hey, we're not going to go
anywhere
I'm going
to get all my buddies together and we're going to make a TV show.
Yeah.
And I know that.
And all my buddies are dudes, obviously.
Right. There's that part. And I know that he says, well, it's just so funny hearing that voice. And that's transphobic. Mm. That is a slightly. You are basically saying, I think it's funny when this masculine voice comes out of this lady.
I mean, this is I don't think
it's intentionally that, but it's not there.
I mean, I told Kevin McDonald to his face drop that, like, me going rage nuts over there being all these all-male troops where they would put on a wig and a dress is literally how I got into doing comedy.
Yeah.
Like, that, I got into comedy out of spite. Wow.
And I understand, it's animation. Bart Simpson has a woman's voice. Mm-hmm. Lots of women voice. Bobby Hill is a woman's voice. It's just what fits the character. I don't buy it. I don't buy it with a show that launched in 2010 or 2012, whenever it launched. It was the same with when every 3 months there was a comedy with Seth Rogen and James Franco. Mm. And it's like, this is the end was the one where I was like, really? There's like 10 of you and everyone's a dude except Hermione showed up for 20 minutes and you made a rape joke and she left. Why does it not occur to anybody like, hey, maybe a couple, maybe just, you know, one or two ladies in here, except for just Kristen Schaal in the primary voice cast of Bob's Burgers?
I think probably sadly it's because a lot of these creators, the dude creators, they don't know the existence of a real woman. They didn't grow up in or they don't live currently in a world where there's like other women, like women can be in the group, in the circle, and on equal status, on equal footing.
Also, people who I respect were just baldly, plainly saying women aren't funny.
Yeah.
As recently as 2010.
Right.
Yeah. Which it was still a thing.
How do you say that? Like, how do you fix your mouth to say this, like, shit like that?
I hate to, I don't want to look like I'm, white knighting the problem. It's less like this is terrible, no one should like Bob's Burgers. I think Bob's Burgers is fine. I didn't like the movie. I thought it was, you know,
it's fine.
I thought it was like, you don't get to become, clearly you have 20 minute ideas and you tried to go for 100
and wrote songs sort of.
When I saw that it was listed as a musical, I was like,
and then they're not good.
David
Wayne does a great job though. He's the bad guy, and I love him.
It just struck me as so weird, and it's so weird that no one talks about it as weird.
Robin talked about it whenever the show came on.
It's time to unearth that, that piece.
Save the Internet Archive.
I'm also famously uninterested in men. I whine and stomp my feet whenever we do a play in my theater company that has any men in it whatsoever. Because I'm like, who cares? It's a boy. Who likes to watch boys do things?
14-year-old Robin.
Yeah, that's true.
I still like watching boys do things.
Yeah. Anyway, all of that. I'm glad we have a very long You Can't Handle the Truth because... Yeah,
Papillon.
Camila, what have you been watching?
I finally finished Doctor Strange and, you know, my original thesis.
Wait, remind me of your thesis. Is it just that dissatisfied noise?
Yeah, just chaos. Just fucking chaos. The whole thing is unhinged and I don't understand why it needed to be like that.
Yeah.
I have come to the conclusion I just do not like Doctor Strange as a character.
He sucks.
Yeah, I'm not on board.
He sucks in the comics too. He is a bad character, and Benedict Cumberbatch also sucks.
Yeah, I'm kind of before there was a hot second where I was like into Cumberbatch, like maybe around Sherlock Holmes time, and then maybe, but that, like, there's a fine line. Like, I love an actor that comes off as an asshole, RDJ, but Cumberbatch, like, he seems like he's an asshole in real life, but like he seems like he's an asshole in real life.
Yes.
Like, it's just like there's a different level of smarm or...
Well, I think people really responded to him playing an asshole in Sherlock, and he was like, all right, that's what I do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So, and I don't think I've seen a lot of other things, but anyway, suffice it to say, Doctor Strange, not my thing, but I was like, here for Wanda and her story. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like we should have just had a Wanda movie. Like, it just should have been a... a Wanda thing.
Which I agree, especially after everyone in the world watched WandaVision during lockdown. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, I could see if you were like, no, we need a bankable character to carry the movie. Yeah, but, but you picked Doctor Strange.
Right.
This wasn't an Iron Man. You went, no one's buying Doctor. I mean, it made a lot of money, so clearly, but like, give her the movie and put him in it.
Also, it worked in Spider-Man. Right. And she's a witch, so like, much like Thor, Love and Thunder, like, mm-hmm. I feel like you could get a title out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it also just seemed like also forced because now we got to care about his love story. Like, I don't give a shit mm-mm. that you still pine after old girl, and then like the whole multiverse, like, you're still trying to get with her in other universes and just deal with it, dude. You lost. Mm. That's it. So anyway.
I still haven't watched it. Someday I will.
I liked all the Evil Dead stuff. I liked when he went creepy and was like, I'm Sam Raimi. I'm going to do spooky shit.
It was so fucking crazy.
I also, I guess we still won't spoil it because people are waiting to watch it at home. But I think that's how you do handle like weird multiverse fan service. I'm talking around Robin specifically, who may or may not know what we're talking about. But like,
I'm going to bleep these things. I know about, and obviously I know about.
Well, with that's because they go to another universe and there's a.
Okay, cool.
And they're just like, oh, in this universe, it's. Isn't that fun? And now we're back. I think that is how you handle the
I completely
the stuff.
Agree.
Yeah.
The wacky multiverse stuff.
Yeah. That's how they do it in the comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. The other thing, I watched Black Phone last night.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it. And it took me a minute. Like, I had to, I walked away from it. And I sat and thought, and I was like, I really liked this movie. It's not the horror that they were like originally kind of like trying to sell it as.
Yeah.
It's definitely a thriller. And I also appreciate the fact that, and I don't know if this is by design for the from the story or the actor, Ethan Hawke, but you never see his face fully.
Oh.
And so you don't associate Ethan Hawke with creepy bastard, you know, like creepy child snatcher.
Which,
you know,
so, I think he's so good at playing creepy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's really good at playing creepy. But I think, you know, maybe because it's like violence upon kids, like maybe he had some, like, I haven't. This is only my own thoughts that maybe like he was like, okay, I'm going to do this role, but I don't want my face to be associated with a child abuser.
Right.
And also we don't see any of the really any violence against the children, which I'm very appreciative of.
Yes.
And you can tell a great story about this without being explicit about the we got it, guys.
Right. Like, you can talk about horrible things without showing that you can explore, let's say.
So I really liked it. I highly suggest it. And also, like, I forget his name, but it's based on a short story written by Stephen King's son, Joe Hill,
and
which he's got a thing for like creepy kids on phones, like, or possessed phones, because I read Nosferatu and that also has like a whole kids like spooky kids on the phone.
Took me several years to go, oh, Nosferatu.
I don't get it.
It's
written.
The title is a license plate, NOS, the number 4, the letter A.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, it's that book, NOS 4A2. Oh, it's about vampires. Go on.
Got it.
But yeah, like, I mean, I'm assuming those are only two references I have about his repertoire. But apparently he likes a spooky phone line, spooky landline.
If you're born after a certain year, you're like, isn't it weird that there used to be these things
right
in our homes?
Other than
that's
that,
also at Last Night at Soho, by the way.
Oh, geez. Halloween Horror Nights has another one of the, occasionally they do like a Blumhouse box set haunted house. And they will do Black Phone / Freaky Haunted House this fall.
Black Phone / Freaky, huh?
I mean, it's like for 3 minutes you're in the Black Phone part, and then for 3 minutes you're in the freaky part. It's not.
That's a tonal shift.
Yeah. Right,
it is. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Just in color in itself.
Yeah. Soundtrack.
I started watching Blackbird on Apple Plus. It's really good. I'm like 2 episodes in.
It's not for me.
Well, yeah, but it's also like when we're talking about Papillon, though, like it kind of like falls into that same category with like, you got like, it's a little more insidious for Blackbird, but you know, he's you got these two unlikely inmates having a relationship or friendship kind of
thing.
That's
a good parallel. Yeah.
Yeah.
We said a couple episodes ago, it's like I get one bleak show every quarter.
Mm-hmm. But again, speaking of like talking about it, like I was worried that it was going to be, we were going to have too much prison time.
But it's not like that?
No.
Oh,
it's not.
Okay.
It's not because they're telling the stories before and after and during.
All right.
And so it's not like, you know, I didn't want there to be, I was like, please God, don't be a prison rape scene. Don't be a prison rape scene,
yeah.
You know, because that really fucks with me.
Yeah.
And so there hasn't, like, two episodes in, we've barely been in the prison.
Okay, good.
And, you know, like, the cast is doing great. Like, I don't remember the guy's name, but the guy who plays the serial killer, who has also been, like, in a bunch of stuff recently. What is his name? He was in, like, that movie about the Boston bomber. But anyway, he's, like, killing it. Like, I really like that guy as an actor.
It's bothering me that I don't know who you're talking about. Are you looking it up?
Yeah.
Great.
I didn't know there was a movie about the Boston Marathon bomber.
I could be making that up,
too. No, there is. It's called Patriot's Day.
Nope, that's not the one that I was thinking about.
Oh, I knew that one. That's with Mark Wahlberg,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Paul Walter Hauser.
Oh, he's in the
what about the Atlanta bombing?
Yeah, that's
that movie is horrible.
Yeah, it's very bad.
It is a bad movie, but he is really good in it.
Yes, okay.
He is so good. Like, I am, like, totally rooting for this man in life.
He was in another Oscar movie that year, the year after, that I also was like, this guy's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was...
Oh, yeah, I, Tonya. He's from I, Tonya.
There you go.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he's also, like, did really... Like, he was did comedy in Queen Pins, another thing that I saw that he was excellent in. So I am here for Paul Walter Hauser.
Oh, and wasn't he in Cruella?
Yeah.
Cruella, I mean, that was I was in the throes of quarantine watch for me, but like, I loved it.
So, yeah, I think that's pretty much, I just started watching the Victoria's Secret docuseries on Hulu.
I can't wait to start watching
that. Yeah.
although I will say that when they were like, everybody knows the story of Victoria's Secret, they don't know the story of this guy. I'm like, well, I do because I watch a lot of documentaries about fucked up shit. There's an episode of The Dark Side of the 90s about him.
Oh, is there?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I haven't gotten into that.
Listen, that show is trashy, but for you especially, Camila, I highly recommend it.
I saw a couple episodes from there, but I didn't watch them all.
Yeah. The only one I haven't watched is the Viper Room one because it's too upsetting.
That's the first one I watched.
I was like, I can't. This is too triggering for me. Yeah.
That's where I am.
Hey, Marcel, the shell with shoes on.
I'm excited to see that.
Look, I went in... not skeptical because I worship Jenny Slate. Mm. I think she is as underrated as anyone could be. She should be the biggest comedy star in the world because her timing is so good. She just has such a command of being funny. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm like, I get it. It's a shell. He's cute. He's nice. We're all supposed to feel good because he's very nice.
The thing you said about Bob's Burgers being a 20-minute story, I am concerned Michelle the Show with Shoes On is a 3-minute story.
Right, and, yeah. And, like, that's absolutely like a Disney Plus short.
Right.
And then it's going, and I'm like, this shell is really getting to me. It's,
yeah,
it's,
I mean, the trailer made me cry, so I was like, all right, I'm in.
When it's funny... It is belly laugh, laugh out loud funny, and no movies are anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, they're either, you know, in action movies, if it's a good one, you get a couple chuckles, and comedies are either wry, haha, or they're trying for the big swings and not getting. This was, I'm laughing my ass off in the movie theater, and in between, I'm really thinking about life and things and feelings and how I see the world.
Wow.
It just absolutely works. It is super weird that she's making it with her ex-fiancé or ex-husband. And
listen.
There's ex stuff. Not that I'm friends with exes, but like there's stuff about exes and breakups and the thing. And I'm like, this is fascinating.
I love that stuff.
I know, right? Like I am in awe of people that can do that.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't create. I can be cool with exes, but I couldn't creatively. Yes, I could be Gwen Stefani with
But yeah, no, it is, I like it. I'm trying to think of other examples. I mean, Annie Hall.
Yeah, and it's 90 minutes long.
Yes.
I know that no one in the world who isn't on a movie podcast cares about which studios do which things. A24 is bulletproof.
I'm sorry, did you just say that people who listen to movie podcasts don't care about which studios do which things?
No, I said only people who are on it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, only people who listen to podcasts are hearing
this. That's true.
And you are absolutely correct.
I said only people who are on movie podcasts care about which studios which. Even the listeners are like, "What is it?" I mean, we're through 7 months of the year. My top three movies are A24 movies.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
My top three movies are Everything Everywhere, X, and Marcel the Shell.
Aw, those are vast.
That's the other thing about A24 is that they, like, people will make, like, there's like A24 bingo cards, but like they don't always make the same kind of, or not make, release the same kind of movies. Right. And
you did Lady Bird and Hereditary. Right, those are not the same.
Like, the thing that unites A24 movies is a certain level of quality. Right. That's impressive. And weirdness.
The other thing I want to bring up is I watched another classic movie the same day I watched Papillon that I had never seen before, and it was vastly better on every level. It's called Dirty Dancing. I had never seen...
What?
I had never seen
Speaking of
Dirty
whole
Dancing.
Plot lines being edited out of TV movie versions.
Yeah. I was sitting there going, why didn't anybody tell me this one was actually good? Because with a lot of the 80s stuff, it's like, this isn't good. You just saw it when you were nine.
Right.
It was important to you. And I'm sitting there going, this is a film. This is a respectable, thoughtful.
You're like, I am invested.
Evocative, well-made. And the soundtrack is great.
Yeah.
It's just a good movie.
And sexy as hell. Yeah. And Jerry Orbach makes me cry. And
I didn't see it until my adulthood, but
I grew up with it.
And a film about the need for accessible women's healthcare. Just saying.
Yeah.
If you love that movie, you should be voting a certain way. To turn it around, do you want to mention The Princess briefly?
Oh, The Princess is fun.
It's fun.
It's on Hulu. It is literally Joey King is like a Rapunzel type trapped princess, and she's making her way down the tower, beating people up.
Nice.
That's the movie.
All right.
In the first scene, it's like a video game.
It really is like a video game.
The first scene, a guy is like, do you really think you can make it all the way to the bottom?
Yes.
And she's like, yes. And just goes kicking people. Just kicking people and throwing things at them for about an hour and a half. Yep. And then we go home. It's not perfect, but
it gets the job done.
Whenever you wake up for a nap this weekend and you're like, I don't want to get off the couch. Put on The Princess.
It is a Saturday morning kind of movie.
I love it.
Let's not draw a movie. I got a bingo.
Oh, shit.
And I went through some things.
Oh, boy.
First, I was just going to pick The Natural because I keep trying to force The Natural. But I don't know. I felt like that was too indulgent. Then James Caan died.
Mm-hmm.
So I was...
R.I.P.
I was briefly going to go to Alien Nation. But then I thought...
That's a nomia?
That's a number one movie in America, and a couple of the other big ones that I hadn't seen are not.
Right, okay.
But then, you know, we just added all of these movies.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things, there are so many classics that I'm, as discussed, I'm sick of people being shocked that I haven't seen.
Okay.
So I was like, let's go to a classic list. Let's go to the AFI 100.
Oh.
And I said, what is the highest rated movie the AFI 100 that, one, I haven't seen? I've still seen a lot of them.
Are you using 97 or 2007?
2007.
All right. That's not the real one.
I know it's not the real one, but it's also better. They got off a lot of like... Mm-hmm.
Calm down, nerd.
We can discuss that off mic. One, I haven't seen. Two, is on our list. Even our extended list only goes back to 1958, so everything from the golden era is not on there. And there were a number that I went through that I thought were on our list and are not, like Schindler's List. I haven't seen Schindler's List, not a nomia.
I'm really glad not watching Schindler's List for this podcast shot.
Apocalypse Now. I have not seen Apocalypse Now. Not a number one movie in America.
Wow.
And, critically... is under 3 hours long.
Ooh,
which,
which got us around Gone with the Wind and Lawrence of Arabia, which are both on our list.
Oh, okay.
I have not seen
Lawrence of Arabia as an adult, and I really need to, because as a child, I felt trapped and miserable. But I understand it's one of the greatest movies of all time, and I should give it another chance.
I'm good.
So on the updated list, the highest rated movie that is under 3 hours long, a number one movie in America that I haven't seen, is number 33, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. It's been a long time since I've seen it. All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
I know.
You've never seen it?
Never seen it. No.
That's surprising.
That also surprises me.
Just for the simple fact that, I mean, I thought I took you as like a Jack Nicholson stan.
I mostly like The Shining a lot.
Yeah, I know. And that could be the only reason why
you're
I have
like
that
Jack Nicholson plus mental illness, like the genre. Like.
Yeah. No, there's two subgenres of movies I haven't seen. Movies I haven't seen and no one is surprised. Like, no one's shocked that I just got to Dirty Dancing.
Right,
and then,
sure.
Then, like, the fact that I hadn't seen 2001 A Space Odyssey until 2 months ago.
Right.
That stuns people. So this is also one where people have gotten in my face like, you haven't seen... One for Christmas with you. So,
alrighty.
So yeah, let's do that next time, and not Lawrence of Arabia or Schindler's List.
Appreciated.
For a minute, I was like, oh, it's got to be Schindler's List, and then I was like, oh, thank God, never a number one movie.
You should watch it though.
I'm sure, but when does that? This is right. What I say. And Gone with the Wind is just for the length and the racism. It's like, when am I like, well, I have nothing to do all day.
Watch it.
I'm gonna want to be fucked up afterwards.
Watch it on the Holocaust Day of Remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a way to get yourself in the right, like, today is the day frame of mind.
And I'll hit another one that may or may not be on the AFI list this Sunday. I think I'm going to the TCM screening of Cabaret, which I've never seen.
Oh, ooh, hard movie to watch right now. Yep. As a comedian, like as an entertainer during the rise of fascism. Woof.
I don't think anyone's getting the song, but let's give it a shot. What was the number one song in America?
Well, I'm going to go with Elton John again.
No, not the end of 73 when it first came out. We'll count the first weekend of 74.
Okay.
Bee Gees?
No. If Elton John were not cool at all.
Billy Joel.
Who would... No, Billy Joel's still a little.
That was mostly a razz on Colin.
If Billy Joel weren't cool at all, you would get to. If John Denver were less cool than he is.
John Denver?
Oh, God.
If you took square-ass John Denver and
Simon
said...
Simon and Garfunkel?
No, they're way cooler than John Denver. Simon is, at least. Garfunkel.
John Denver.
Who is
Garfunkel was in a Mike Nichols movie that gives him cool points.
That's true.
It's a terrible movie, though.
Like, this guy is a singer-songwriter. It would be folly to put him in rock.
Chris,
like,
Columbus.
That's the director of Home Alone.
Sailing guy.
That's Christopher Cross. You're 10 years early.
Also, that song's great.
I love Christopher Cross.
Sean wants to be on a boat.
I
love Arthur's theme. Jackson Brown.
Ooh.
No, all of these people are more cool than...
What's the guy? John Taylor.
James Taylor.
James Taylor.
That's a good guess.
John Taylor's Duran Duran.
He was in... Wasn't he an Easy Rider?
Was he?
Fuck if I know.
I have seen Easy Rider within the last year.
It's not bad. Easy Rider. It's something like Easy Rider that for some reason James Taylor is in. This is still not who we're looking for. What movie? What?
Are we getting closer?
Joe Jackson?
No. I'm thinking of Tulane Blacktop.
Okay. I don't really know anything about that.
Yeah.
I would also, I agree that he is vaguely cool.
Vaguely is correct, but yes.
1973.
I don't know. I don't even know how to lead you to.
What color is his hair?
Black.
White guy?
White guy. Born in Philadelphia. Did not live very long. Soft rock performer who died young. A lot of Muzak. I'm sure a lot of his songs were turned into elevator music later on.
Damn.
Other songs include I Got a Name, Don't Mess Around with Jim, Bad Leroy Brown.
Jim Croce.
Correct.
Oh.
Yeah.
I never would have gotten there.
Yeah.
And this isn't one of those.
Bad Leroy Brown is a good enough song that guy is cool.
Is it like something called like Photograph or something like that?
It's Time in a Bottle.
Oh.
By Jim Croce.
There
you know
is.
How you should have gotten us there?
Mm.
Hello. Hi, it's Robin. I am about to say something that is not true, and I am preemptively inserting this added audio so that you don't freak out.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Is that in Guardians?
Yeah. Or Volume 2, maybe.
That is not true. Neither Guardians of the Galaxy movie has this song. What I was thinking of was X-Men Days of Future Past, specifically the Quicksilver scene, the highlight of that film. But definitely not a Guardians movie. I'm fully wrong.
But that was the one? Mm-hmm. Not... Okay.
Nope. Sean's right. I'm wrong.
I forgot that was...
He doesn't remember because I was wrong.
This is no way to end an episode.
Outro theme.